forward seems too much. When you feel totally out of touch, hope is seeping out the door. You find yourself curled on the floor. Thoughts swirl round, all jumbled and messed. Why is this brain so darkly obsessed? I've secrets I've never confessed, haven't told a soul. Gentle whisper through the pain. Remember rainbows follow rain. Breathe deeply, hold on tight. Your hope will return, shining bright. Embrace the now, release the past. In forgiveness, peace will last. You matter deeply. You're let your strength be shown.
Hello, hello. It's good to be back. I'm Elaine Lindsay. This is Suicide Zen Forgiveness. And today we have a guest who is in my home country, which absolutely thrills me today. My guest, Barb Varsel-Smith. She is a therapist, an educator, an advocate for mental well-being, and complex trauma recovery specialist. Wow, that's a whole lot to unpack, and it is right up our alley because it's all things that you and I deal with. Thank you for joining me, Barb.
Thank you for having me. Nice to meet you, Elaine.
It's really good to be here, and I'm going to get us to dive right in. You can let us know a little bit about who you are and what you do, and then we'll get into the why you do it and what it can do for others.
Okay. So who you are and what I'm doing is to some level the same thing because I am a trauma therapist. I'm working with different modalities, mainly with hypnotherapy, but also with my own modalities, which I've developed over years. And reason why I am developing and why doing it and why I'm teaching them to other people how to help people is because when I was 17, I lived in enormous amount of pain. I was diagnosed with chronic fatigue syndrome, or ME, maybe known in America. In that time, it was one of the new diagnoses, and practically it was saying by the doctors, we know that you have pain and you are exhausted to level of dying, but we don't know what to do with that. And I was told to learn to live with that. And it's impossible if your daily achievement is get to the toilet. And I was lucky. I have to say, I see it as a miracle that I met the people who start teaching me actually that it's about the mind, not about the body. And I learn how our mindset and what's happened to us as children affecting our body. And I was able to get out of it completely. Since then, I start learning everything I could about that, start helping people alongside my day job and just try to find solution, and that spreading that it's all, not all, but it is all about our mindset. It's all about on that level we don't know, and it's about that people often saying, oh, it cannot be about mindset because even like I'm thriving, I'm positive, I'm trying to be, I have pain. But pain is messenger, if it's, and physical pain is just messenger of the mental pain. When we don't listen to that little nagging of our mind to do something with that, And quite often people don't even realize how much they was affected by their childhood or teenage years and how much they suppress, how much they normalize and start thinking that it was okay what was happening to them, until we look at that and they realize that it wasn't okay and it wasn't fine, or that they know even that it wasn't fine. But that a lot of people living in that, or you need to learn to live with that, or you need to learn to manage it, or you need to take some medication for it. But they again and again getting to the point of realization that it's impossible, that it's so tiring, that it's so exhausting and painful and lonely, and they don't know how to connect with other people, they don't feel safe to connect with other people, and they just kind of going on that spiral down over all effort they putting to getting better. And I know that it's possible to change. I'm changing it with my clients. I change it for myself, and I'm changing it with my clients daily. And it's why I'm advocate for mental health, because it's really about that realization that it's possible to get out of it, and that we don't have to believe what we are told, that it's not possible, that you have to learn to live with that, that if you have panic attacks, you're supposed to learn to manage them, or if you have the pain, you should take the painkillers, that it's actually possible to switch it off and live happily and content and joyful life.
It all sounds absolutely wonderful. And I can say from my own perspective, I have learned through a spiritual advisor about meditation and ways to handle your pain that don't involve medication, that don't involve just sucking it up and putting up with it. Because I understand from someone who's also into a great deal of neurophysiology and how the brain works, that pain changes you. Pain changes everything about you, mentally, physically, emotionally. It can make you a totally different person. And I know in my case, we all saw that. It's unfortunate that the Western style of medicine is all about take all these drugs. Okay, here, this is going to fix you. Oh, it didn't fix you. Oh, then you're stuck with it. There's no happy medium. There's no alternates. It's one or the other. And the whole concept, I think, of saying to someone, oh, just live with it, is horrific. Like, I can't imagine telling someone. I can't imagine being told, because I have been over and over again. And that, the fact that you got out of your pain and were able to turn around this ME, which I understand is absolutely debilitating. I know you also deal with fibromyalgia. I know you deal with CPTSD. And I can honestly say, and I know there's an awful lot of people like me, I assume PTSD and CPTSD had to do with the military. Mm-hmm. Because that is the context in which I heard the term. And when I'll cut that little piece out. I only heard those. Sorry, I'm in a meeting. I'll call you later.
I'm sorry.
It's okay, honey. Oh, I thought I hit the off button. My bad. Okay. 10:10. Okay. I only heard this in terms of the military. So when a medical person told me that in all likelihood I had CPTSD, I said, sorry. Wrong person, never been in the military. My father was military, not me. They said, it's not just about the military, and I was really quite surprised. I was surprised to the point that I did not follow up with them because it just seemed too far-fetched. I now know that I was once again wrong. I do that a lot. But in terms of fibromyalgia, ME, PTSD, they all go back to childhood.
They all go back to the childhood because actually complex PTSD, it's a result of childhood trauma and have much more, it's like a complex PTSD because it's much more effect on our day-to-day life that PTSD. PTSD itself, it's triggered by one-off event, and but that event actually also relating also something in the background. That, for example, people believe I should be strong and I was weak, or why it's linked in the military, it's very often about the moral injury, about I didn't save somebody or my survival gift and stuff like that. So that's a different, but complex PTSD, it's created from several repeating small or big, but quite a lot like this events which happen to our life. And it's actually created when the needs of the children are not met. And a lot of people think that childhood trauma, it's linked to the big events, parents taking drugs or beating up or sexual assault. But actually, complex PTSD can be developed. And as you mentioned, for example, that your father was in the army, it's quite often children of the army personnel have complex PTSD because they subconsciously living in the fear that parent will not come back, that they living with that, not having that parent there. So it's all on one on another parent. So practically growing up with single parents. And that's
I just
affecting
got to
them. That
stop you because my father would never forgive me. He was in the Air Force, not the Army.
Okay, Air Force, sorry.
Sorry, I'm sorry. It's such a death. But I'm just thinking, I lost him in March this year, and I just would not want to offend his soul by putting him in the wrong context. But yeah, in terms of that, when I grew up, I understand our life was very chaotic. Partly because of what my father did in the Air Force, but also because my aunt came to Canada with us and she had a very complex health history and was very ill. And it became part of our life to the extent that if the phone rang after supper, my mother would go into panic. And that I now know that is not a normal way to live. My father and I would end up having to drive for 5 hours each way to go to where my aunt was from us. And that happened with alarming regularity.
Childhood trauma, as you said, it's the reasons are many. It can be a relative which is ill, it can be sibling, it can be bereavement, very underestimated, that people think that children managing well with the bereavement in family, but very often they don't, and they just are masking. So sometimes it's also overprotecting or too much expectation from children, too much pressure on them. Divorce, offer movement, poverty. It's the list is actually very long what causing the childhood trauma. Currently, we estimate about 80% of population suffering with childhood trauma. And those who develop the symptoms of complex PTSD as insomnia, panic attacks, anxiousness, not ability to publicly speak up, for example, showing as the changing the jobs, changing the partners, or living in the what we call phone syndrome, people pleaser, just like trying to do to the level of exhaustion. And for example, we calling fibromyalgia, don't take it bad, we call it the martyr syndrome, because it's, if you look, the fibromyalgia, it's affecting in 85%, it's a women. are diagnosed with fibromyalgia, and when we look on the lifestyle of that women, it's very often that they, over any pain or everything they're doing for others, they don't take care of themselves. They are priority minus thousands somewhere. They don't even know what they need, because they don't, very often not even admitting that they have any needs. And that's coming from that phone trauma response. So when we resolve that trauma, that pain just disappearing, because it's not need to be the pain coming as the big red light on the road sign saying just stop, just stop.
Yeah. There was a test they used to do in different like sales areas and different things called cognitive or intelligence type tests. And one of the tests was, in order of importance, list the 10 people in your life that are most important. And I, like many people, I wasn't even on the list. Never occurred to me. And more and more people that I talk to, and you're right, a lot of them are women. What do you mean I should be on the list? Why would I be on the list? But it's like people say in the airplane, when the mask falls, put it on yourself first. I used to think, oh my God, that's so selfish. What about everybody else? Until somebody said, if you're comatose, you're not helping anybody else. It's, oh my God, I totally lost sight of that. Yeah, everything you're saying is hitting hard.
Yeah. But it's about that we need to understand how our mind really works. Yeah. So we have what I calling the five pillars of self. We have the five functional part of our mind, which are born with, and they developing. But when they are not working, they're not working. So then it's that meaning that we are that disbalance, that body is not working in balance, and we living as the on the rocking boat. But if they all working, they balancing each other, so our life becomes smoother. And these five pillars of self, it's inner strength, self-love, knowledge, purpose, and intuition. And what's happening during childhood, when our needs are not met, we start suppressing that inner strength. And inner strength is that feeling that we know who we are, that feeling that we say no to the things which we don't like, that feeling safe, that we know where our boundaries are. And I very often, when I'm working with people, we start speaking about boundaries. And very buzzy word now, keep up your boundaries. And most of people would say, no, I actually don't know where they are, is it? I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's actually a sign of it, that their mind is not in the right position. So what I actually do with people, that we like really repositioning this part of mind, because that inner strength is very powerful and it's working with the anger. But we are afraid of the anger, because we joining the anger with the aggression, with the hurting somebody. We not understand, most of people don't understand that anger is very healthy in the way, if it's the right way expressed. And the right way to express is do it in the time when it happened, the situation. But when can you see the small child start fighting against the parent? They will not, is it? Mm-hmm. So they start suppressing. Yeah. Every time when you were little and didn't want to go on that 5-hour trip, you would go. You would suppress it and you would go because your parents say so, and because you know that you cannot survive without them. So that's starting creating that freeze and fawn response from trauma responses, because they are taught, they are learned. We are not born with them. We're learning them. And the anger, I describing as the knight on the white horse with the sword. It's a very powerful energy. And he's supposed to running around us like protector, Yeah. So can you imagine that you're trying to hold inside of you the stallion with the knife, with the sword? It's what causing that pain, because we suppressing something which is actually we attacking ourselves from inside. And it's why fibromyalgia, rheumatoid arthritis, multiple sclerosis, and others are called autoimmune disorders, because they are caused by auto, when we actually attacking ourselves inside. But in the moment when we actually release that knight, we let him to be where he's supposed to be, to feel that energy and work with that energy, then we realize that we stop hurting ourselves and our body have enormous recovery functions and just regrow to the healthy version of us.
That's incredible. It all makes so much sense, because right from Viktor Frankl's book, he said, you have the final say, you have choice. And that choice gives you, I think, the sort of the last word. You can choose whether or not you will allow things to stay in you, or whether you'll accept the help and change it. But also that our bodies want to heal. They want to be at their optimum, and they will try even when we're fighting them, or it, however you look at it. And it was fascinating to me. That played out in my life, because they slit my throat and diverted my esophagus out my neck. And within 6 weeks, it was trying to repair itself. Didn't put it back together for 7 months, but it was already trying to go together. And I found that really fascinating, because to me, that meant that our bodies have an awful lot more power than we give them credit for.
That is the paradox of trauma, yeah, which people sometimes don't understand, is that actually more symptoms you have, that's actually mean that your mind is stronger. So people who has the very strong trauma responses, people who do develop the autoimmune disorders, it's actually that enormous effort of the mind to get rid of it, to solve it, to expel it. Because our body are absolutely fascinating, but the one thing they are not designed to have, it's storing emotions. And when we as the children start suppressing, we start storing, and it start with headaches, it start with the children start to having the running nose, start to have the chest infection, then you can start having nauseous, and then it start, we keep suppressing, we just spreading them through the body, through the different form of nervous, on the nerves, on the soft tissues, to the heart tissues. And as I saying, it's all starting with the dummy, with pacifiers. When we giving the children the dummy, which is correct name is pacifier. What's mean pacify? It's mean, bluntly say, we're telling the children, shut up.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear that you are hungry. I don't want to hear that you are tired. I don't want to hear that you are scared. I don't want to hear that you are, whatever it is, cold, too hot, thirsty, hungry, basic needs are not suffice. We're just telling them, just, I don't want to hear it. It's wrong. You're not supposed to express what you need. You're not supposed to express who you are. Yeah. And then we go into school and we're telling them, sit on the chair and wear the uniform and don't express who you are and don't express your opinion. Like, just answer the questions you are. Or parents start saying, you need to be obedient. But obedience is wrong, because obedience not building mental health, obedience destroying the person's personality, instead of teaching them responsibility, which is mean be who you are, but this is how the world's working. So it's not really surprising that we have so many people with the trauma. And then we have effect of the global elements as wars or economic crisis and poverty and stuff like that, which causing generational trauma, that we have it after Second War, for example, in Europe, when parents was, you know, harsh on their children in the way, I survive, nothing happening to you. You look how my life was hard, and don't pick up what you don't want to eat. You will eat what I'm giving you. It was everywhere in the world in some period of time. And that's affecting, and it's creating another level. But yeah, they were traumatized. They passing it on their children, and they passing it on their children by their actions. But people getting to that point that they don't believe that they can be helped, and that is that moment when they choosing that it will be better to leave. Topic of this podcast, it's about suicide prevention, but it's because people still are told that they cannot be helped, that there is no chance to get out of pain or lower it. There is no chance to get better from not having the angry outburst and have the rage, which they worry that they will injure their families. Like I working with a lot of men, which coming with that wife saying, if you're not changing, I'm divorcing you. And they saying, but I cannot control it. I don't know why I'm so angry. But when we look at that, they are angry because their childhood wasn't as supposed to be. They just manifesting more one trauma, which is fight, compared to the women, which more often manifesting the phone or freeze. When we start looking at that, actually, usually the both parts are traumatized. So like women with the people pleaser syndrome ending with the man who has the anger issues, but actually both are because they were both traumatized as the children. So very important is that it's possible to change it. And even if people feel like, oh, this cannot be so easy, it's actually is in the end, because when we really know what needs to happen in our mind, we can very targetly go there and change that. And I'm working with people who attempt or thinking about suicide. I'm actually a point of refer for many other therapists to sending to meet the people with this. And usually, like after one session I work with them, they never had the thoughts again, because yeah, it takes time, another work, few months to get fully out of things and start that happy life. But they unload that heaviness then when we put things back in places, and they actually start seeing reality. So they start seeing, okay, now I'm here, okay, I need to do things. But there is that light on the end of the tunnel. I feel lighter. I am able to cope with the life, or pain lowered or gone. So it's important for people to understand that, yeah, many things doesn't work for trauma. That's true. But what I'm doing, trauma responsive programming, and which are teaching other people how to do that, it does work and has very quick and huge impact on life.
You're talking about life changing. You're not talking about making it manageable. You're talking about getting rid of it.
Yes.
Okay, like to me, that's already, let's get going on this. Oh my Lord. Because I don't know too many people that really want to hang on to all that pain. I really don't.
Yeah. I know that for some people feel, you know, it needs courage to ask for help, and it needs courage to be willing to face the demons. A lot of people would say that. But it's worth it, because we're not supposed to live in pain. We're not supposed to live in desperation or sleepless nights, nightmares and panic attacks and loneliness. We are social. We are connective, we are loving and compassionate, we are purposeful. But people feel, for example, that they would have some purpose. They feel that they would want to do something, but not getting there, not and it's not working for them. And the reason is also that because they are not set yet properly, if their inner strength is not in place, if their self-love is not in place, they purpose, maybe they feel it, but they are not able to take the steps to fulfill it. Or a lot of people would say, no, I know what to do. So their knowledge, it's fine, but the knowledge needs to be changed to the wisdom. And wisdom is like how I will apply my knowledge in my life. But we cannot be wise and turn into the wisdom if our self-love not working, because the self-love saying what is good for us, when that inner carer would say, oh, this will work for you, this is good for you. And that also cannot work when our intuition doesn't work right. But our intuition cannot work what is good for me, what I like, what I don't like, if we are afraid. Because then we're just living on the fight and flight response, like trying to survive. So until we're living in survival mode, then all these other things are so hard and so hard to achieve them, and feeling, oh, I start 100 times business, I start so many relationships that didn't work, I start so many attempts, or I would rather be lonely because I'm getting rejected, I would rather not advance in career because it's not working. And so people start giving up. But when we just put these five things back in place, they will realize, wow, it's working. Wow, like, how is this possible? And they are so surprised. And it's why I'm doing it, because it's so amazing to watching people with these aha moments and how their life changing to completely different experience.
You've totally blown my mind. Now I have a question. When we decide we're going to go to the gym, we're going to go three times a week, we're going to do it religiously, everybody signs up in January, and by the second week of January, 80% of them have stopped. Because our brains, our lizard brain specifically, wants to keep us safe, and it tends to quantify safe as status quo. So that means nothing changes. You may not like where you are, but the brain has decided this is, you're good right here. You're not dying. There's no saber-tooth tigers. We're going to keep you right here. And you can decide to diet or stop smoking or stop drinking or start exercising or walking or whatever. And the brain will do everything humanly possible and then some to make that not happen. Now, the reason I know so much about that is my spiritual advisor tried to explain that to us. And when I first started working with this lady in the early 2000s, I didn't sleep. I couldn't sleep. I was on a ridiculous amount of drugs and all kinds of things. And I found that I could trick my brain into thinking I was going to change something, and immediately it would put me to sleep because I couldn't be changing anything when I was asleep. And for me, it was heaven. It was the first time in more than 20 odd years I had slept overnight. I thought, oh, this is wonderful. Sadly, the brain catches on and you can't do it for long. But how do these five key things that you do, how does that get past that kind of programming?
So, the very important thing is to understand that this, what we call lizard brain, it shouldn't be in charge all the time. Yeah. So when it is on overtime, it's when we call it that we are living in the survival mode. And that it switch on in childhood when we start surviving. But in the moment when we put ourselves to that inner organization of safety, we switching it off. We can see it on even MRI. We can see it on how our body change, the posture of people will change, our tension in the muscles will change in the moment when we reinstate that feeling of safety inside. because that fight and flight response, this survival, like only keeping you safe, should come to running only when, you know, you're crossing the street, fine, be aware. When the tiger is near to you, not often happening, or when you're doing something challenging. But what it's supposed to do is that, like, when you are under attack, when you are somewhere in dangerous situation, yeah, it will should kick in and make you fight or flight.
Yeah.
But when the children needs to surprise their reaction of fight and flight, then it's switching on all the time. Yeah.
Okay.
And children need switching on because fight and flight are about get out of situation. You fight it off or you flight it off, you run away. The children cannot do that. They have to stay in that situation. So they learn freeze or fawn. I call it the rabbit syndrome because the rabbits actually can learn all these reacting in all four responses. And when we switch it off, we realize that you can sit in and have not this response, like you're drinking your coffee, why you should be in the survival mode? Like you want to learn French, why it should be like trigger your survival mode? Why if you go to gym, why it should trigger your survival mode? Yeah, it's not supposed to be on all the time, and we can switch it off. And when we switch it off, then it start working, because then our self-love would say, oh, you need to go to gym because you want to be healthy. And you go, inner strength would say, yeah, let's do it. Let's take it slowly. Let's look around. Let's explore a few more gyms where we feel comfortable, where we like it, where we don't like it. Or maybe get personal coach if I'm not sure, because then we get to the learning mode. When we're living in the survival mode, in survival, we're not learning. In survival, we're surviving. We're grabbing, we're not choosing. It's also a reason why so many people have learning difficulties to focus in the school, or they just anxiety about exams, or have struggled to focus, or feel overwhelmed. Because, yeah, survival mode versus learning, it's actually not really working together. But also it's a reason why so many people now are diagnosed with ADHD, but they don't really have the ADHD. They just living in that survival mode. And again, when we switch it off, they will realize that they can focus. They are able to follow the structures and just realize that we are all unique and all need to find the way how we function. And it's not same for everybody, but our little brain or our survival mode not supposed to be on all the time. And it's possible to switch it off.
Because, and it's funny because I've used this analogy before. Unlike the animals, okay, zebras and antelopes and what have you, they have one of them who is on alert, watching for the lions and what mm-hmm. have you. And they see a lion, they all run like hell. And then when they stop, you can see a shimmy go through the whole animal. Every animal shimmies from head to tail because they're not suppressing the emotion. They're letting it go. And they're no longer in survival mode. They're just chewing their cud, doing what they're supposed to do. The one person or the one animal is looking out for them, and the rest of them are doing their thing.
Yeah.
That now makes so much more sense because I understand it in relation to us. And that being stuck in survival mode, it resonates so much. And that makes so much sense for all the pieces to fall in place. Oh my God. Okay. We're going to start wrapping up here, but what I have to say right off the bat, and I know the audience is probably with me here. Can I have you back, please?
Yes, I would be happy to come again.
I think you have so much more to offer us because I really think I've heard a lot of theories. I've worked with spiritual mentors. I've worked with all kinds of, I've been a guinea pig for Western medicine. This is the one thing that stitches it all together and actually makes sense to me. And wow, like I am just vibrating. This is so exciting. Barb, I am just blown away. And I want to tell you, audience, you'll have all the links and everything else to reach Barb below. But if you have questions, just send them to me, because we are definitely going to have Barb back. I think you have tons and tons that we can unpack with you. It is just fascinating. So for people who or maybe want to investigate a little more before they get in touch with you, what would you suggest? What is it that we can do, knowing this little bit about what you can offer? What can a person do in the meantime to start themselves on a road to improvement?
Oh, I know that people will see that it's pointless, but journaling in the way of self-reflection. Every evening, sit down and write, how did you feel that day? Because we tend to very negatively think about ourselves and criticize ourselves inside when we are in survival mode. So just start, write down, how did you actually feel? And then continue with question, I feel like this because. And admit to yourself why. And then you go again, like, for example, I feel very anxious to go to the library because I think that people will think that I'm stupid, that I need to borrow these books, and I should already know that. And I feel stupid because, or when I was in primary school, the teacher told me that I'm not even able to read. And I was really very frightened from that, or I was felt very diminished. And I felt diminished because, so at least three times down to the because, then people will start uncovering that these emotions they have quite often are their store emotions, and they have nothing to do with the present moment. They are all just bubbling up from past. And then I would recommend to people to learn the sentence, it's not me anymore.
Oh, I love that.
Because, yeah, it takes time to release it from the body and mind. We can very speed it up with what I'm doing. But when we start letting go of this, when we start allowing, the admitting that emotions, they sometimes start bubbling up. People maybe start crying or be angry, and that's good. Just do it. Allow yourself to do that. And remind yourself that now you are adult, so you are capable, you are skilled, you are knowledgeable, you learned a lot of during your life. And start maybe the little inquisition of yourself. What did you actually all learn through your life? What actually you did achieve during your life, without that criticism that it wasn't so much, it wasn't so perfect. Just state the facts. Even get married, amazing. Did you have children? Success. Did you work? Amazing. Start switching off that negative criticism about ourselves, because then we actually can allow that feelings come up. And when we allow that, it starts lighting up. And it's okay to cry, and it's okay to be angry. I'm recommending people to go into the rage rooms if they can, and now are almost in every city. And just start allowing yourself to get it out. Or go to the empty space, to the nature, and start screaming. Because we are so taught to be quiet and not express how we feel. And that, so just that, start screaming for no reason. Just start screaming. You will realize how lighter you feel afterwards. Because whatever happened to you in childhood, when you start suppressing, you did start suppressing anger. Because anger coming every time when we are afraid. Since caught since baby carrier, you probably start holding on some anger. And it feels so liberating when we start getting it out.
This is all so brilliant. Oh my God. And you've developed like a program of your own,
yeah,
which I think is absolutely incredible. Again, you'll see her website right below us. There is so much to unpack here. And I'm sure that you are humming just the way I am right now, because there's all kinds of things going through my head. And I don't have complaints about my childhood. I didn't have, okay, like I love my parents, love my mother, I adore my father. I lived with my grandmother, my aunt, my mother, and my father when we first came to Canada until I was 5 years old. I had all those adults I could pick from. But I can see how things that, you know, as parents, we only do what we know. We can only love in the way that we know how. And we can only try to do for our children the best we know. And that all that suppression inside does not make that easy. And God, just the ladder of generational trauma. Oh my God. Just think if we all work on this.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I also cannot say that when I look back, I do see like how my trauma was developed, but doesn't mean that my parents wasn't loving. We have accidents. My parents were dissident, living in suppression and stuff like that. So it's like many different effects. My mom had the accident when I was 4, was hospitalized and everything. It's about that. It's not always what we expecting that it is. But as you mentioned, you move the countries. So that's a cultural shock. You had your grandparents until 5, but you moved, so you did lost them in some way, like how child can see it. Your father was in Air Force, so he was probably quite often off somewhere, subconsciously afraid will ring the phone or the officers will come to the doors, because you probably see it happening to others or witnessing that some others' children parents didn't come home because of their military service. So it's the things which we quite often brave it on. And what we call, I call it like fifth trauma response, which is fake resilience. And we could spoke the whole another topic about fake resilience. But from that, it's quite often going all these developing the what we call in the martyr syndromes in the body. So you learn that, oh, I should be happy. I should go on, and it's all fine, stuff like that. But it doesn't mean that it was okay in the way how needs were covered and, you know, how safe you felt all the time.
Yeah. It's so funny because right up until last year, I would still make a joke to my father about how angry I am that I didn't get a say in leaving my home. Okay, my heart is still in Edinburgh. And as much as it's mostly a joke, there's an undercurrent there. If I'm really honest, that there is anger at the core. I didn't get to make that choice. And I laugh now because I'm an adult and I can do what I want now. But it's funny how that's something else I've hung on to for good Lord for a very long time. We certainly have so much more to I cannot thank you enough, Barb. You have been one of my favorite episodes. I think this is the basis for an awful lot of help for so many people, so many of our audience who'll be able to really look at themselves when they were kids and maybe be able to move forward in things that we couldn't until now. And that, my God, what a gift you offer. I'm gobsmacked. I'm absolutely gobsmacked. I thank you from the very bottom of my heart, Barb. Thank you so much. We will have Barb back, I guarantee you, before the end of this year, if I have anything to say about it.
Yeah, happy to come.
Wow. So remember, transcript will be below, all the information, all the links, so you can reach out to Barb yourselves. Again, thank you to our guest, Barb Bassel-Smith. And also, make sure you make the very most of your today, every day. And we'll see you next time.
See you next time.
Bye for now. And we're going to be off now.
Thank you for being here for another inspiring episode of Suicide Zen Forgiveness. We appreciate you tuning in. Please subscribe and download on your favorite service and check out SZF's YouTube channel or Facebook community. If you have the chance to leave a 5-star rating or review, it'd be greatly appreciated. Please refer this to a friend you know who may benefit from the hope and inspiration from our guests. Suicide Zen Forgiveness was brought to you by the following sponsors. Truul Social Media, the digital integration specialists. Let them get you rocking page one in the search results. Canada's keynote humorist, Judy Kroon, motivational speaker, comedian, author, and stand-up coach at Second City. Judy has been involved for over a decade in the City Street Outreach Program in Toronto. Do you have a story to share? Do you know someone you think would be a great guest? Please go to SZF42.com. And for our American listeners, that's SZF42.com. Thank you for listening.